Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. This is Pope Francis's first day as leader of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics. First full day, anyway. 76-year-old Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio of Argentina was elected as Pope yesterday. He's the first Latin American Pope, and his papal name honors St. Francis of Assisi. Joining us now is Bishop Paul Swain of the Sioux Falls Diocese. Bishop Swain, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Happy to be with you.
Well, when the white smoke began pouring out of St. Peter's Basilica, which meant the Cardinals had elected a new Pope, what were you doing at the time?
Well, I was working in the office, and once the smoke came, it just happened to be a day when the priests of our diocese were gathering together. So we went over to the cathedral and watched it together as priests and bishop awaiting our new Holy Father, our new spiritual father.
Were you surprised at all by the announcement that Cardinal Bergoglio had been chosen?
Oh, absolutely. He hadn't been one of the names that had been tossed about, at least this time around. And so it was an exhilarating surprise, really. It enlivened everyone. Oh, this is something new. This is something different. This is something that's going to lead us in a way that that the Spirit has challenge us to respond to.
How does the change of one pope to another affect the church, particularly now as move from Pope Benedict to Pope Francis?
Well, in terms of the internal workings of the church, it'll take a while before there's a major change, if there's any. It's really up to the new Holy Father, who he appoints to different positions, and those things take time, as in any transition. The real difference initially, obviously, is the personality of the person and the background and the experience they have that they bring forward as teacher and as a public spokesman and leader of the Catholics around the world.
You mentioned background. What does it mean for the church that Pope Francis comes from Argentina?
Oh, it's a tremendous gift. The church has been growing for many years in Latin America, South America, Africa, Asia, and to some degree declining in Europe, which is where the focus of our leadership has been in the past, although they obviously cared about the whole world. Here's a man who has hands-on experience in the area where there are particular, where the church is growing, where there are particular problems in terms of economics and the poor and elements that perhaps haven't had as prominent a role as they probably will now just because of his experience and his background.
Now, his background is also, he's the first Jesuit priest, as I understand. Maybe to help some of us understand that aspect of his background, who are the Jesuits?
Well, it's a religious order that's founded by St. Ignatius, centuries ago, and designed really to be supportive of the Pope, whoever he might be. It's really an order that focuses on intellectual development. It takes many years to become a Jesuit, lots of education. You know, they particularly are focused on universities. As a Jesuit, he certainly would be an intellectual and be well-formed in theology and other aspects.
Now, the Jesuits are also known for their work with poverty and I think some social justice issues. Will that have any bearing on Pope Francis, and how he leads the church?
Absolutely, because the Jesuits particularly would go into areas like South America, several centuries ago, and that's where the church kind of grew because of their presence. And so he's already spoken even briefly about that focus, the importance of responding to the poor, of justice in our economic systems, of fair distribution of resources. So I think that's going to be a major focus as he moves into the future.
There was an article in today's Salon.com by Mary Elizabeth Williams in which she writes about some of this, about Pope Francis's background as a Jesuit and his simple, humble life. And she says that he could be the Pope of the 99%, meaning, I guess, the economic have-nots. Do you agree with her view or her commentary on this?
Well, certainly he will play that role. I think there's a little question about it. My guess is that that's one of the elements that the cardinals took into account when they made this decision under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we believe, that he would be a voice for those who really haven't been represented as fully in the past, even though they are, as I mentioned, where the growth of the church is, a growing number, and even in some areas a majority of Catholics.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Bishop Paul Swain of the Sioux Falls Diocese about the Catholic Church's new leader, Pope Francis. Bishop Swain, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that when the announcement was made that there was some excitement about the selection of Pope Francis. Is that excitement based on a lot of the things that we were talking about given concerning Pope Francis's personality and his background?
Well, part of it is most of us didn't know a whole lot about him even when his name was presented. I think, though, there has been a sense among many that there needs to be a reinvigoration, some change in the church. And he represents that very clearly. I mean, the first pope from the Americas and has unique background compared to some of the past who've been officials in the Vatican and other backgrounds. So I think that's part of it. There was a response, wow, this is new. This is going to be interesting. Then, obviously, our desire is to learn about him and know him better and open our hearts to where he wants to lead us.
What sort of change are you talking about there? Are you talking about change of the Catholic Church?
Change in the sense that to some degree, and this isn't being critical of anything that's happened in the past, and is that a sense that we perhaps have been a little too introspective rather than looking out to the fullness of the universal church. A little focus on administration more than the pastoral presence that Christ calls us to offer.
We've mentioned a little bit about his personality, and Bishop Swain, you mentioned you didn't know that much about him until yesterday. Can you give us any insight into his personality? Who you think he is, as a person? How Catholics will view him, or how he will lead the church based in his personality?
Well, he already just in his appearance yesterday on the balcony when he asked, before he gave the blessing, the traditional blessing that a new pope does, he asked the people to pray for him first. So he's a man of prayer and a recognition that he needs guidance as well. And it was very stunning for the silence, thousands of people gathered in that square, absolute silence during that moment. And he bent over as if to ask us to pray over him in that way. Secondly, the choice of his name, Francis, can be interpreted in a lot of different ways, but clearly St. Francis had a humility and a sense of caring about others, a return to kind of the basics of a call for peace and justice. So those are revealing things about him as a person, because those are the first decisions he made. What name is he going to take? That's his choice. Then how do you respond when you're first presented a man of prayer? And then what we know that his living style in Argentina was not lavish in any sense. So I think those things about him, which we're learning, just create an impression of a loyal, priest, a good priest, a pastoral priest, who is now the leader of all Catholics around the world.
The leader of Catholics around the world, of course. I'm wondering what you think the importance of the Pope is to that part of the world's population that isn't Catholic.
Well, certainly, just the interest that everyone has shown in this these last several weeks suggests that there is that the role of the Pope is greater than simply being the head of the Catholic Church, in part because the moral issues that are raised, the issues of justice and peace, apply to everybody. Obviously, there are elements focused within the Catholic faith community, but the overall arching teachings are not limited to the Catholic Church, but to all people, human rights and respect for life and justice and equality in the marketplace and in other areas. So it's in a way, he's a teacher to all on those issues that that apply to all human beings.
How does the selection of a new pope affect Catholics here in South Dakota?
Well, the pope, as Bishop of Sioux Falls, I report to the pope. I mean, there's that kind of direct relationship. And so, you know, as he teaches, as he encourages us and helps us set priorities, we'll respond to what he calls us to do, as in every diocese. I'm going to be around here for a while, but he may well appoint my successor. So, in a very practical way, that's what happens. So. But mostly, I think he's spiritual father to us all, and so we listen to him. We read the materials. We pay attention to his teachings and on a regular basis. And, of course, the developments in communication allow us to do it in a very profound way compared to even a few years ago. We can know what's going on and what he's suggesting, you know, within minutes of his actually having proclaimed whatever it is that he is encouraging us to think about.
So the Pope sets the priorities, and then the bishops and the other members of the Church, then they essentially follow that, move in that direction, or follow that guidance?
Absolutely. For instance, Pope Benedict declared this to be a year of faith and a challenge to us to renew our faith and encourage a deeper encounter with Jesus Christ. Well, all over the world, how we do that within our own diocese is up to us. But setting the theme that we as Catholics all over the world are focusing on this year is a result of Pope Benedict announcing it and encouraging it, and that will be the same with Pope Francis.
Given Pope Francis's background and some of the changes that you were talking about, I'm wondering if that will have any impact in the Church's relationship with the South Dakota's reservations, perhaps moving things in a positive direction in regards to reconciliation.
Well, we can hope so. He probably can teach us. I think he's going to call us to be more present to those who are suffering from poverty, from lack of hope. And that's true on the reservations to some degree. It's true in Argentina and areas of Latin America where there's significant differences in freedoms and economic stability and the availability of those basic things that everyone ought to have to live a healthy and a life. So I think my guess is that he's going to, based upon his experience, encourage us to outreach in new ways that we haven't before.
Finally, in the last couple of minutes we have here, over the next couple of months or so, what sort of transition efforts or what will be happening now as Pope Francis is, as the weeks and days go on, and as the new pope?
Well, it's one of these amazing things. As soon as he was elected, he takes over. There's no transition time, like with the president, you know, you have a few months to get your team together and to refocus. He takes over immediately. So part of it, I would think, is he's just going to take time to be comfortable in this new role. It's very different from the role that he had before. Then over time, he'll look at who he wants around him, who will be the key staff in the Vatican offices. And then my guess is that he'll take some time to decide what priorities that he wants to focus on and encourage us to focus on. So I don't expect a whole lot of change immediately, but I do see a significant refocusing, a reprioritization of where we'll be looking at over the next months, but not a lot immediately.
Well, Bishop Swain, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Paul Swain. He's Bishop of the Sioux Falls Diocese. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up after a short break, we'll talk with artist Harvey Dunn's granddaughter, Diana Rutherford. Her work is on exhibit along with her granddaughter at the South Dakota Art Museum.